Kids, I want to talk to y'all about something. I've been here in Summit a long time. I remember when I used to, didn't even like them. I'm going to tell you a terrible prayer I used to pray. This is the truth. I used to say, Lord, please let Daddy forget his Sunday. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I'll probably be born again now. I'm still praying. And anyway, though, the time came. I can't tell you exactly the day. When the gospel started meaning something to me, I began to rejoice in it. So I'm hoping if some of you have never rejoiced the gospel, the time will come when that day will happen, that something will happen inside you, and you'll rejoice in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God can do that. He can cause you to be converted if you're already born again. If you're not born again, he can cause you to be born again. But Jerry Hunt Sr., he got a great story to tell about when he was born again. He used to just hate church. And he would go and he'd just do all kind of bad stuff. He was kind of a bad boy. And so he said one time he went to church and he went to sleep. And he, when he woke up, everything had changed. And all the people, these all were old, ugly people. He said the prettiest people he'd ever seen. And God changed him while he was asleep. And he woke up and there he wasn't born again. He'd been serving God all his life ever since then. So that day may come when you'll start enjoying church more than you ever have before. And I always encourage you to keep going to church. I've been going, I was baptized in 1954 when I was 13 years old. And I thank God that I was at that age. God got a hold of me. I heard a lot of sermons. And most of them I don't remember. But that's not anything bad. I try to remember. I try to take notes. And you can take notes if you want to. Some people like to take notes, some don't. The main thing is we ought to give them more earnest heed. Things which you heard, let you, anytime we should let them slip. We don't need to be lazy here. Just sinning against God, we're lazy here. We don't really care. We kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. We ought to try real hard. If you need to take notes, do that. I take them. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I enjoy the sermon so much, I don't even take any notes. I just sit there and listen. But anyway, you could do, but the point I'm making is, though, the gospel has done me a lot of good, even though I don't remember all the sermons I heard preached. Now, some sermons I do remember, and I want God to do it in your life also. I can start now, I won't do it. I could probably give you a dozen sermons that had a major impact on me. I could tell you almost what the man said 50, 60 years later. I mean, when my life was changed, had things embedded in my heart, and God can do that, and God often does do that. You gotta pray that day will come, and God will do that lots of times in my life. When you need to hear a word from God, he can bring it with great power. So I pray God will do that. But I'm going to read you a statement before I start. I'm going to preach a sermon that won't be the exact sermon. But back in 1991, June 1991, I preached a sermon. And I want to kind of repeat the same sermon in a way, the same topic in June 1991. I just got to hold of a tape. Sometimes when I'm exercising, I like to play tapes. And so I've just amazed some stuff I found lately. And I'll tell you what that subject is in just a minute. But I want to make a statement to you that one time this got a hold of me. I've heard this lots of times. But one time, I think I'm down where Nathan Pitney's pastor, I think. I know maybe when he's pastoring Pine Hill. I remember one time somehow he was in the mix. And this got a hold of me. And I know this so well, but it thrilled my soul. So before I get started, I want to read you that verse. Look over in 1 John 5:1. Now, this is an amazing thing. You've heard this a lot of times. This is like one in one ear and out the other. Like water off a duck's back. It's a great, that's kind of the way it is. But listen to this. Listen to this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That'll affect you. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? If you do believe that, really believe you're born of God. That's amazing. That means you're heading for heaven. That means Christ has died for your sins. That really astounded me that day. I got excited. Whosoever believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God. Isn't that powerful? And then I'll read the rest of the verse. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth also him that begotten of him. We love God's children. If we are born of God, we love God who begat us. We also love his children. And we've had some songs written today and tonight about the friend of my master, the children of God, the best friend on this earth to me. So you kids remember that too. That's your best friend you'll ever have. If people who serve God with you in his church don't ever leave them, don't ever forsake them, you be there for them. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, really believe in Jesus Christ, you need to get baptized. And if you're real young, you need to talk to your mom and daddy about it because they know more about you than anybody else does. So I want to encourage you to think about that. I'm glad I was baptized when I was 13. I didn't really intend to get baptized that day. I talked about it a little bit. I kind of fun talking about experiences at my age. But I went to church. I brought up in church. I thank God I was. I had a good mother and daddy who went to church all the time. And so they lived godly lives, and that's still one of the greatest blessings I've ever had. Have a good mother and daddy. They've been dead for years and years. They still provide strength to me. And your parents would provide strength to you too after they're even gone. If they live the kind of life they ought to live, they'd be a foundation for you. Anyway, though, we had a singing school over at Martin Ward Church. And for some reason, a two-week singing school. That's really unusual to have a two-week singing school. We have a singing school, then the weekend, and then have the other week. And Garvin Green, such a blessed uncle, was the one who taught me. I've always loved Garvin. He meant a lot to me. Because God used him in my life. He's a real wholesome man. He's just wholesome. He doesn't use any kind of bad language. He's a manly guy. He's built like a little old tank. And I remember he'd like to get on two chairs and just let us settle his stomach and stuff. That's how hard it is. And hit his stomach. We can hit him. He taught me how to play cork ball. If you don't know how to cork ball, you got to learn how to do it. You get a broomstick, you wrap the cork up, and it's fun to play cork ball. Garvin played cork ball with us. Well, somehow he had an influence on me more than I even realized. And so he told me one night, said, in the morning, I'm going to call on you, open up the singing school with prayer. It scared me to death. Scared me to death. I didn't get a bit of sleep that night. But the next day, I stumbled through the prayer. Somehow or another, in the middle of the singing school, on the Sunday, I think, between the 2 weeks, I didn't intend to. I was sitting over at Martin Ward Church in the middle aisle, down kind of close. Brother Wallace, the deacon, was sitting next to me. And when Brother Holder gave the invitation, I elbowed Brother Walter, excuse me, Brother Walter, wham, knocked him out now and ran down and joined the church. Now, God got a hold of me. I'm glad he did that. I didn't intend to join. I like to see God do that today sometimes. I know it's okay to join other ways, but when God gets a hold of somebody, I like that a lot too. So let's pray about that. Hope God will get a hold of you. But anyway, now let me tell you something else before we get started on my so-called sermon, on my subject I really want to get to because I think it's important. Make the Word of God your own. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture tonight about doctrine. That's not all I'm going to talk about. And I want to encourage you older people, like Kiefer, who's not as old as I am, so I don't want to insult him. You listen, too. Kiefer and Melissa won't want anything new. Mama won't want anything new tonight. A lot of you older won't want Lemon, you're not old, Lee. Don't get me wrong at all. But you won't want anything. But may God bless you that this is fresh to you as it ever has been. We don't ever need to get word. It's not fresh to us. The Word of God, the doctrines of grace, the thing we stand for need to be what we love, but you kids need to have a fresh love for it. Now, you've got to make it your own. If you're lazy at church, you'll never make it your own. One of the best things I ever did, I worked at Sears. I worked my way through college. I had my pastor was also my boss, Brother R.J. Shepherd, at Sears. And so I had this job pulling orders. That order out of the catalog right there at Sears. Of course, a lot of people would ship them to them. You could come in on the catalog order desk, order something. It's on the schedule. We'd be picking orders up on the different floors and then throw them down and shoot, and they come get them on schedule. Well, it got to be where I could just do it on automatic pilot. I had five departments that I pulled these orders in this little cart and throw them down the chute and sometimes walk like a dog. Didn't have time to stop and take a breath hardly, but I didn't have to use my mind anymore. So I had a good idea. I got an association minute that had our article of faith in it, and they had proof text. Now, I tell you, I had some happy days at Sears. Memorized those scriptures, run that little cart, not hardly know where I was, but the Bible came alive to me. And the doctrines came alive to me. They will you too, but you've got to put something into it. If you want to get somebody out of the doctrine of election, you've got to learn some virtues to teach you about that and talk about it and think about it, that God make it real to you. You've got to make it real. So don't be lazy in church. Do your own Bible reading. Let your mom help you study. And let Isaac may help you study. Other people like that. Anyway, what I want to talk about tonight is the subject that I preached about 31 years ago. Well, I call it two gifts. Two gifts. So let's look at that. Based the text on Philippians 1:29. You know, a gift is something somebody gives you, right? You don't earn it. It's a gift. Like if somebody gives me a present, it's a gift. You give me a present, that here's a gift to you. It's somebody gives it to you. It's a gift. So I want to talk about two great gifts. One of them we'll like. One of them we'll have to learn to like. But it's just as good a gift as the other one. So these two gifts are over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians 1:29. Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. For to you it is given. These are gifts. For you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, that's one gift, also to suffer for His sake. The gift of faith and the gift of suffering. Now, he said, for you are given in the behalf of Christ to believe on Him. Listen, faith and belief are synonyms. Belief is a noun. Faith is a noun. Believe is a verb. But the faith, if you say have faith, that means you believe. And to the ability to believe on Jesus Christ, and I read the text, if you believe that Jesus is Christ, you're born again, that's a gift of Almighty God. Now let's go to some scriptures. I'm going to go to a few scriptures, try not to overwhelm us. I'll try to modify my sermon to, I think, what we can take. But you listen carefully to me. If you can believe in Jesus Christ, see, a lot of people say this. Many people say, just believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Just like anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. Just believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Well, we all say believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that. It does say that. We ought to exhort people to believe in Christ, not be afraid to do that. The Philippian jailer, what shall it be to be saved? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We all say that. But that's not what gets you saved. Believing is a gift of God Almighty. Not everybody has faith. Not everybody has faith. Only the elect have faith. God gives them faith sometime in their life. Do you have faith? Well, I don't know yet. You have to just think about this. I'll talk to you about it a little bit. Faith means believing in Jesus Christ. But there's more to it than an intellectual belief. There's also a love. There's a fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's one thing Gil will talk about, but I won't read it right now. But it's more than just an intellectual assent. It is that plus other things. But you know, we got a whole world of people don't believe in Jesus Christ, don't we? We got a whole country of people don't believe in Jesus Christ. If they did, they'd obey Jesus Christ. If I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to try to obey Him. I'm going to say what He said is wrong is wrong. What He said is right is right. I don't care what the whole government says. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what the laws are. If something's wrong, that Jesus says wrong, it's wrong. If I believe in Jesus Christ, so a lot of people that claim, my friend, to be Christians, I'm telling you they're not really Christians. The proof is in the pudding. That's the truth. We don't be those kind of people that draw nigh Him with our mouth, but our hearts are far from Him. Okay, now let's get some basic scriptures. If you can believe in Jesus Christ, it's a gift of God. God gave you that ability. And when you were born again, that's when God gave it to you. All right, Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9. You all know these. We memorize these even for our children. So kids, listen. For by grace are you saved. Grace means a gift of God you didn't earn or you didn't deserve. That's what grace is. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, you got to have faith. Some people say you don't. They're wrong about that. I preached this 31 years ago. I'm still preaching it. My friend, the only evidence you've got, you are born again, is you do believe in Jesus Christ. I've got a brother that I hope is saved, but I can't biblically say he's saved. I can't biblically say my brother's saved. He does not believe in Jesus Christ by his own admission. I still hope, against hope, if you think that's crazy, I don't know his heart. But I would be wrong, say he's okay, he's a good old boy, he gave the shirt off his back, he's heading for heaven. I can't say that. The only infallible evidence we have that we're born again, if we believe in Jesus Christ. If you hear the gospel preached and don't believe in Jesus Christ, that's not a good sign at all. That's not a good sign. I'll give you a verse on that, I guess, before I finish this one, over to Acts chapter 13, verse 48. I'll do that right now, Acts 13, 48. And when the Gentiles heard this preaching by the apostles, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They had been ordained to eternal life before the world began. But how do they know that? The evidence is they believe. The Bible says that. That's the Bible. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Brethren, we need to put a lot of emphasis on belief. We all bad to say to do that. We believe in immediate regeneration. I'm the strongest one in the country on that. I know I am. Nobody can beat me on immediate regeneration. I love that doctrine. Sister Sandra Dean, which I preach on every time I go up. I ain't kidding. She loves that doctrine. I do too. Because you've got all the glory. But that does not mean I need to denigrate or minimize belief. You gotta have the right balance of scripture. So let's go back now to Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved, through faith, let's keep on going. And that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, faith is a gift of God Almighty, a divine gift. He gives you that gift when you're born again. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's a plain scripture. You're memorizing that. I'll repeat it one more time. For by grace are you saved. That means you didn't do anything to get it. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't boast. If I even say I did one thing to help God get me saved, that's boasting. We got some songs. Gene and I like to listen to songs. We had one for the Pensacola Christian Singer, the great CD or whatever it was. And there's one song I just loved it, but one line messed the whole thing up. There's some girl who had a real sweet voice singing a great song, and suddenly I just had to suck it in. And she said, "It's a good thing I believe I wouldn't be here. You're in heaven." I said, "All rats." She's taking some credit. That's boasting. That's boasting. You don't, listen, kids, you've got to, if you are saved, you will be active. You will love God, but you don't do anything to get saved. You're passive in that. God gets all the glory. Don't ever forget that. If you're the only people in the world, preach that, preach it. Give you all the glory. Now, let's go over to 2 Peter 1:1. I won't go to all the scriptures I've got here. I'll try to be as wise as I can. Y'all pray for me. These are my favorites. Yep, now, I'm talking about two gifts, right? Number one is faith, of the ability to believe on Jesus Christ as a gift of God. That's one gift. Now, 2 Peter 1:1. Y'all know this, I think. You've heard me preach on this lots of times. It's one of my favorite verses, because I'll tell you why in a minute. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. That word obtained there is what I'm talking about. You've obtained like precious faith. Now, I love my Greek books, because God inspired the New Testament in Greek. Now, I love my Greek books. I wish I knew more Greek. But I love what I do know. That word obtained means given by divine allotment. And one commentator, Kettle, and he's even a liberal, but he's an honest liberal, he said, you did nothing to even cooperate in this. Colin Brown said the same thing. All of them, they got to say that. You do nothing, you don't even cooperate with this. And one man said, it's like a piece of ripe fruit falling off your hand. That's how you obtain like precious faith. Through the righteousness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You obtain faith that way. That's how you get faith. It's a free gift of God Almighty. That's wonderful. Nothing you do. Like precious faith. Now, when you get that faith, I'm not going to quote it. I will quote some of it, but I'll go further. You don't add faith. That's given to you, but you add to your faith. If you have faith, add your faith virtue to virtue of knowledge. God is temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, kindness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And all those seven of them, I think, there. You add your faith. You will if you're born again to some degree. Some people may grow more than others, but I'll tell you, friends, if you have life, there's a development of that life. You don't be stunning, do you? You don't be spiritual medium. So we'll add, but we don't add faith that's given us. Now, let's over at 1 Peter 1:20. I'm going to two or three. I'll be through this part. It's very important. I'm not in a hurry, but I don't want to overwhelm you, but I want you to think about this. I hope you're getting, if you want to talk to me about it, any of you ever, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. I want you to be sound. But I want you to make it your own. Not say because Brother Zach believes that. You get the Bible, get it in your crawl, get in your spiritual crawl, your insides, your heart. Be like Susanna Ward. I want to embarrass her. I don't think I will. If I do, she'll have to just take it. I don't think I'll embarrass her, but you don't know how much you love the grace sometimes, so it's challenged. You don't know how much you love it until it's challenged. I love it when it gets challenged. I don't know. I hope it's in there so strong, I just can't hold back. I hope that's with you too. So Mike Spiegel had a debate with a Church of Christ man down in Boonville, Mississippi. I didn't want him to have a debate. I don't like debates. But that turned out to be a great blessing. Mike did a wonderful job. He kept his cool. He had a sweet spirit. What he had was a captive audience, so a whole bunch of Church of Christ. He preached the gospel. That's what it amounted to. Now, I'm not fast on my feet, but I'm fast on my seat. Mike's fast on his feet. Man, that old guy got to go into the Church of Christ. Yeah, I got to write the scripture and hand it to Mike. Man, I was flat. I wasn't fast on my feet, on my seat. Well, Susanna didn't know how much she loved the doctrine of grace. Till on the way home, that kid went wild. She got her flashlight out. She got her Bible out. She started looking up scripture. Said, "Daddy, look what that man said. That wasn't right, was it?" She was thrilled with the doctrine of grace. I want you to be also thrilled with the doctrine of grace. We don't go around fighting people all the time. We don't be ashamed of the gospel. We need to know what we believe. And we're challenged sometimes, it makes us study harder. But I'll tell you, what we believe is precious, friend, is you say the truth, the song tonight, buy the truth and sell it not. That's a difference from what people believe. I love all Christians, I do. I dearly love all Christians. I love my good dentist, John McClain, who just passed away. I tell you, it touched me, this is kind of a side, but I want to encourage you, if you ever feel impressed to do something, do it. Here about a couple of years ago, Dr. McClain lost his wife, who was one of my school teachers, and he was just down sad. So I wrote him a letter of encouragement. I felt like I just had to do it. He was so thrilled by that. He had a big wheel over at Christ United Methodist Church. He took the letter to all his pastors, showed it to them. Well, the other day at that funeral, I found out they read that letter at that funeral. So if you feel impressed to do something, go ahead and do it. If God's wanting you to encourage somebody, encourage them. Don't wait till it's too late. That's God impressing you to be a blessing to somebody. You young people can do that. You can call somebody, write them a card. You can encourage people. We need to be doing that. Anyway, though, a couple more scriptures and I'll be through on this point. 1 Peter 1:21. Who by him, that him is the Lord, who by him, to believe in God, raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I'll read that to you again. It says, by him, that's how you believe. Who by him, to believe in God, raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now let me give you one more. But I want to talk about some things. Well, I'm going to give you another scripture, but I want to talk a little bit about, give me about 5 more minutes of parenthetic stuff that's real important. Not everybody believes. I said that, didn't I? Why? Why don't everybody believe? Well, look at John 10:26, 27 and 28. I think Isaac might have quoted this. Somebody quoted this not long ago. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe. You're not elect. You're not one of God's sheep. Christ didn't die for you. But ye believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My brother, we do follow him to some extent. We do follow him. And I give unto them eternal life. That's a gift, isn't it? I give unto him what? Eternal life. They shall never perish. There shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a beautiful scripture. That's a good one to memorize. Isn't that beautiful? Now, let's talk about regeneration for just a moment. Regeneration means being born again. It means getting spiritual life. You get spiritual life. You're born. You see, we believe this. Can't do the whole doctrine right now. We believe that God chose his people in Jesus Christ before the world began. That's called the doctrine of election. He chose them. He knew you if you're one of his children before the world began. He loved you before the world began. He loved you with everlasting love. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knew who those elect were, so he died for every one of them. He paid for every sin of every one of the elect. Every sin of every one of the elect. And so then, sometime between your conception and your death, I say conception because John the Baptist, we know, was born again in his mother's womb. We know that. We know that David was made to hope on his mother's breast, it said in Psalm 22. So God can save babies and often does, probably. But then other people, before they die, if they're born again, if they're his children, they'll be saved. The thief on the cross, we know the great story. God put that there for a reason. Two thieves on the cross, both of them were blaspheming Jesus Christ. Suddenly, one of them changed. Isn't it amazing? He said, Lord. Can you believe that? He called him Lord. Hanging right there next to him, all messed up with what they'd done to him on the cross. Lord, he said, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. Don't you remember that? Isn't that great? He got that thief before he died. He'll get every one of his children. That's why I don't ever give up on anybody. I hope my brother is a child of God. I hope my brother's born again. I hope God gets him someday. I hope he gets some evidence. I'll know for sure he's saved. We talked to Eric Cook today. You know, his daddy just died not long ago. Eric's brother. And he's so glad. He talked about it sometimes. He says, I'm so glad a year or so ago, daddy showed signs of being born again. He said, never had in his whole life. But it really comforted Eric. It also comforted me. But I'll tell you, friend, God will get all his children born again sometime from their conception and their death. I love it when we bring our babies to church. You mama do a great job of it. Every now and then they cry a little bit, so what? It's not going to hurt us. You're doing a good trying to quiet them down, take them out sometime. But I'm glad we got that kind of noise in the church. My friend, those kids, you have no idea. If the Spirit of God is here, they have to be born again. They'll feel that Spirit, and they'll not be intellectually grab a hold of it too much. And who knows, even little bitty kids. Some of our kids astound us some things they say, don't they? Sometimes our kids astound us the things they say. So I don't want to embarrass anybody here now, but Judy tells me stuff that some of our grandkids say. I say, hallelujah! It just blows my mind what God's doing in their lives. I hope you do it in your life, too. Don't be afraid to talk about stuff like that. All right, now let's talk about getting born again for a minute. I'm going to compare it to three things. And in all three things, we have nothing to do with it. It's a miracle in every case. First is John 3:8. Being born again is compared to a birth. Let me ask you a question. Which one of y'all is sitting in your own birth? I don't see any hands. Who decided who your mom and dad is going to be? I don't see any hands. Who decided where you're going to be born? I don't see any hands. I did this in Siberia. Sister Luda Shepalevsky said her eyes, she said the light bulb went off. She said, I see. Sister Luda Shepalevsky. Okay, John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it pleases. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So every one that's born of the Spirit of God is a birth. God's sovereign in that. Now, you've heard me say this a lot of times. I don't mind saying it again. Some of you may not have got it. You kids need it anyway. The wind blows where it listeth. Now, my pastor, E.C. Holler, I love E.C. Holler. He's a great preacher, a lot better than I am. If Fitzpatrick was still alive, she'd tell you, he could really preach. Powerhouse. I mean, I'd like to think about it. I'll see him, give him a little hug when I see you again. And so, he had a real rough life. And sometimes his young manhood, he used to be really mean. And he drank and he cussed and he fought and all kinds of stuff. And one day God got a hold of him and totally changed him. He'd tell that, and he told it a lot of times, and every time he told, we'd cry. He'd tell so good, we'd all just bawl. Man, hallelujah. But one day, I kind of, I said to myself, I have not had any experience like that. Maybe I'm not born again. I never have had a dramatic experience. But I do think I love the Lord. And thank God, not long after that, Brother Holder cleared that up. He said, you know what? That wind sometimes blows like a hurricane, like in my case. Sometimes it just barely blows. You can hardly tell it's blowing, like in the case of John the Baptist, probably. But it's the same wind. So the proof of the pudding is not the experience you've had. It's if you love Jesus Christ, that's the proof of the pudding. The proof of the pudding. All right? So number one, it's compared to a birth. Now, one of my very favorites is over in 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. It's also compared to creation. Now, when God was here, who all helped God? Nobody helped God. Even the angels, they weren't even here yet. So, we know in Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Just like that. God did it by himself. So, talking about being born again, in 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul makes allusion to Genesis 1:3, when God said, let there be light, there was light. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to the light of the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God, and the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I said, it's great, isn't it? I'm glad somebody emailed me on that. I would invite children every day. Let's just do it again. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Now, number three, so we got creation and a birth. Now, we got a resurrection. That's John 5:25. If you look at John, which I won't turn there, but I have chapter 5, go to verse 28, talks about the resurrection of the body that we celebrate today on Easter. But in verse 25, it's a spiritual resurrection. The hour is coming, and that is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful, isn't it? So if you're born again, God has spoken to your heart and caused you to be born again. Because you were dead in trespasses and sins. Everybody was born dead in trespasses and sins. So again, to repeat those three things now, a birth, a creation, and a resurrection, those are lessons that tell us about regeneration, that God does that. And my friend, well, thank God for that. I thank God for that more and more. I hope I do. I've heard it all my life. It can get kind of old sometimes. Not old, but you know, not get excited as I should. May God put that on the front bar of my mind. And I thank you, Lord, for calling me out of darkness to your marvelous light. Isn't that great? Now, let's talk about that second gift. That's a little bit different. For you, it's given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, also to suffer for his sake. Now, that doesn't sound all that, palatable, does it? But, my friend, I hope God makes this real to us. I was amazed, even back 31 years ago, when I was preaching this, I said, brother, we may get persecuted someday. And Jesus said, you can remember even before that, preachers were doing that. We've been doing it for a long time. And we've meant it. And things were kind of looking ominous. Obviously, they're looking more ominous than ever before. More than ever before. We're having cultural change. Major cultural change. All the social commentators who have any work, people like Alan Moore, we're going through this seismic change. Don't get afraid. We shouldn't be afraid. I don't know what to expect. God can turn it around. God can hold evil back. That's what I'm praying for all the time. But we may have to suffer. I don't know. Brother Gunn is suffering more than we are. The brother of Siberia is probably going to start suffering. World Magazine now says Putin is fixing to go after all religious minorities. We know he's a wicked man, a former KGB chief. So maybe our brother of Siberia may suffer. I don't know. And we may do some suffering here. I don't know about all that. But I want you to get used to looking at some scriptures. Let me make a suggestion. Don't let me be your man. Let God be your man. Listen, get these scriptures I'm going to give you right now, some of them, and begin to think about them and begin to pray about them and ask God to make them real to you. That's all I want us to do. We ought to be doing that. So let's just read. You know these very well. I'm going to read the Beatitude, one of them. I'm going to read the one in Matthew, which is the most familiar. But then I'm also going to read the parallel in Luke, because it just gives an additional light to it. Now, our Savior, you know, gave the Beatitudes, and that was the blessings. And one man, I like the way he did this. I think he's right. He was really Old Testament blessings, like in Psalm 1. Hey, when you say blessed, you can say, oh, how very happy he is. Now, he's right about that. Oh, how very happy. So Jesus Christ would say, oh, how very happy. Right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. They should be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They should be filled. All the Beatitudes. Then he comes down to the one has the most verses in it. It's 1 in 10 through 12. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Now this is a gift of God, if Paul's right. It's given to you, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, also to suffer for his sake. All right, here's what our Savior. This is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are ye, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And that's what's going on even today, even in our country. A lot of good people are being maligned, marginalized, shut down, all kind of things happening. I'm not trying to scare anybody, you know what I'm talking about, if you know anything at all. I'll read it to you again. But he said, blessed are ye. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. My friend Jesus Christ said that. He didn't just say, be glad, be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. Now, the one in Luke 6 says this. It's a little more lively. Luke 6, 27. And 20, or 22 and 23. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice you in that day and leap for joy. How about that? Rejoice you in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. He said, you rejoice. Now, I know it takes God's grace to do that, but we can do it. We can do it. I'm going to read you some people who did it. You said, I can't do that right now. Well, you're not going through it right now. God gave you the grace you need for you to do that grace. I'm just saying this. We need to be close to God. That's my advice. Let's get close to God. Just keep on keeping on what you're doing now. Raise your family like you're doing now. You live in a subculture, keep bringing them up to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's all keep being faithful to God, doing what we can to live a normal life as long as we possibly can. And God may may shelter, who knows? But do what we can. Let God take the future. And let's try to buy the future. Let's show some people who did that. Acts chapter 5. The whole book of Acts would be a good book to read, by the way. That's the church in action. Acts 5:41. And they departed from their presence. That's the Sanhedrin court who had beaten them and had mistreated them and intimidated them and threatened them. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Isn't it something? They were actually rejoicing. That's supernatural. That's the Holy Spirit. God gave them the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit is available today. And then another account is Paul and Silas in prison. Now, they actually got beaten. They were beaten. In fact, they had to wash their stripes. So that means they were cut by the whips. And they're in the inner prison. Their feet were in stocks. When they said they were in stocks, they used to put them in there in such a way their legs were cramped. That must have been a very, very unpleasant situation. And they didn't know what God was going to do. Paul and Silas didn't know what God was going to do. But reading in verses 24 and 25 here of Acts, who having received such a charge, that's the jailer, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying, praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Isn't that amazing? You think they'd be moaning and groaning and being afraid. They were praising God and singing a song at midnight because God the Holy Ghost blessed them with the Spirit, and He can keep doing His people that way. Then over in Hebrews chapter 10, that's a great book. 10 and 11 are great books. And so this is in Hebrews 10:34. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoil of your goods. Can you believe that? Their goods were confiscated. They're probably cast out into the weather. And maybe their house was taken from them. And they took their stuff away from them and confiscated their goods. He said, you took joyfully the spoil of your goods. Why? Knowing in yourselves you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. They had that eternal perspective like we've been talking about so much lately. And we all have the eternal perspective. That's not a cop-out. That God gives us the strength. We're on the winning side, folks. We're on the winning side. I told you I got a sermon coming. I hope you'll pray for me. I'd love to preach it. I don't want to be in your face with it. I just want to preach it. I'd love to preach a sermon. I love this. So pray for me. I'll mean you this. That I have the skill to study it. Being on the right side of history on Judgment Day. I love that. These people say, you're on the wrong side of history. You stupid Christians. Don't go on with our social agenda. You're on the wrong side of history. We'll find out who's on the wrong side of history on Judgment Day. And God wants us to think about that. We'll be vindicated on Judgment Day. Isn't that great? Okay, now, two more and I'll be through. I want to be this kind of person. I want to get to where so you ought to want to ask, Lord, help me be this kind of person. Over in Philippians 1:20, there's something Paul wanted very badly. He was in prison. You say, well, I want to get out of prison. Well, I don't even want to get out of prison. He's a human being just like we are. And I told you before over in the last chapter of Colossians chapter 4, that verse got my eyes teared up when I began to memorize it. He said, remember my bonds. Oh, Paul, you're a human being too, aren't you? He said, the salutation, the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you, amen. He didn't like being in jail. But he said this. He didn't say, pray diligently, now get out of here. Remember my bonds, all right. He said in Philippians 1:20, according to our earnest expectation and my hope, that's something he wanted very badly. According to our earnest expectation and my hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed, that all boldness as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You know, we're trying to memorize Hebrews 11 in our school now. And I love Hebrews 11. All those people there had a good report by faith. They had different situations they went through. Some of them did not die a martyr's death. Some of them came out pretty well already. Some of them died a martyr's death, but all of them died. So the point I'm making is, we don't know what specifically God got for us to do. Like I even preached to Esther. Esther had a job to do. She didn't know what the outcome was going to be. She had a job. You've got a job to do. I don't know what it is. We won't all be martyrs. Maybe none of us will be martyrs. But whatever God calls us to do, we need to be faithful. And here's my final scripture about Peter. Well, Peter did die a martyr's death. I don't know how he died. Some people said he crucified upside down. That may not be true. I don't know. I know it's not wrong. He never was it wrong. He never was it wrong. The Pope said he was, and they claim he's the first Pope, which is not true. There's no evidence Peter was ever wrong. So this legend about him dying upside down, crucified upside down, that's not really biblical. But we know he did die a martyr's death because Christ said he would. So when the Lord told Peter in John 21, after he gave him the commission to feed my sheep and feed my lambs, he told him what kind of death he's going to die. You're going to be an old man, and you're going to go where you don't want to go. You're going to be going to, then so here's what he said in John 21:19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So by his death he glorified God. So he glorified God in his death. If God may want us to glorify Him, I don't know. Some people glorify God the way they live. Some people glorify God in their death. We all want Him to glorify us both ways. Now let's just say we don't die a martyr's death. I still hope God glorifies us in our death. We glorify God in our death, don't you? I hope God give us dying grace no matter what we're going through, whether it be cancer or anything else. we can glorify God. I'll be like Sister Sandra Dean, even though her son had gone home, and she's heartbroken, she's still trying to glorify God. So maybe we pray, God, help us to glorify you. So now, to sum up, folks, look, God gave us two gifts. They're free gifts. Nobody can give them to us but God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, that's a great gift. And if you're able to suffer for his sake, that's also a great gift. Well, say, Lord, thank you for your gifts.